Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to DMVR Buffs Live, presented by Infinity Park. If you're looking for something to do in the summer, they've got all sorts of great options. They're showing movies out there. They have concerts out there. Just go to infinitypark@glendale.com/events. You'll check out everything that they have going on. Can't go wrong with any of it. Now, though, let's talk about the Colorado Buffaloes.
Finally.
The season starts tomorrow.
Yes.
38-point favorites against the Northern Colorado Bears. What do you think of that, Ryan?
My main takeaway about this game... Well, first of all, I'm just... Like, I could not be more elated to go to Folsom Field. Like,
I know.
Honestly, they could be doing anything there tomorrow. Like, there could be, like, a piano recital for third graders that I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be down to go to Folsom Field and just spend my Friday night there. But the fact that we're getting a football game there, the fact that we just get to, like, see a Folsom sunset tomorrow, the fact that we get to drink a beer under the Flatirons, like, all of that, that's all I can think about. It's just, like, wow, like, we were really deprived of that for... I mean, it's been almost two full years since we've done something like that. So I can't wait for that. As for the game,
yeah,
I've been able to dig up a nice bit of disdain for Ed McCaffrey in Northern Colorado this
really?
Week.
I'm glad to hear that. It's tough to do.
Yeah, if any Broncos fans are watching this, just like close your ears for a second. I don't know. Like, he kind of gives off a douchey vibe to me. All of his kids didn't go to CU.
Yep.
It might not even be his fault, but I'd like to blame him for it.
He played a part, yep, from what I've heard.
And I read a story that Sean Keeler wrote today about it, in which he said, like, he was just, like, making these little comments that pissed me off. Like, there was just, it was really tumultuous up there, and, like, little mm-hmm. comments like that where I was just like, I think I want to beat the crap out of you this week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely some of that. And again, I have... only had fond feelings for Ed McCaffrey for basically my entire life. And I don't even want to say like I've had negative feelings toward him in the last week or so, but I'll say that there are definitely some new feelings in there. And you hear some stories about like the recruiting, you hear some stories about like him talking reporters, and it's just like, yeah, you know what? I want to watch this happen.
Yes.
Whatever happens tomorrow, and I think it's going to be pretty fun to watch. I want to watch it happen. And the other thing for me, so I went to Montana, Big Sky Conference.
Yes.
You've also got Northern Colorado, Big Sky Conference. I never had like any feelings toward Northern Colorado just because they were never competitive in the Big Sky. And so they were always kind of like, it's kind of like the Oregon State the Washington State of the Big Sky, where it's like, sure, do whatever. Hey, maybe pull an upset out of conference and help us out or something. But yeah, it's definitely a weird matchup.
By the way, sorry, I had this like big, beautiful tweet ready for the live show, and then when I went to paste it into my new tweet, it was just not there anymore. So I had to rebuild the whole thing. It's like a really tough scene over here.
Yeah, that
I feel like it's not as good this time.
Oh, like, no.
First draft was really where the
what was different about it?
I don't know. I forget. I feel like it's missing something.
Well, here's what might be missing, because we've got an awesome show for you guys. We're going to start out. We're going to draft the position groups, just take turns. You know, what's the first overall pick? We thinking outside linebackers, inside linebackers, running backs. We're going to run through all that. I had a chance to talk with our guy, Evan Batty, this morning about baby Ralphie, and we ran through and ranked some I'm so excited about this baby Ralphie. She's incredible.
Pay a lot of money just to be able to like give her a real hug.
I know, right? And like, I won't even care that there's probably like a horn coming through your throat or something. Like, I'd still be down.
She looks so calm.
She looks so sweet.
She
looks perfect.
Like, oh god, it's like when you see someone's dog and you're just like, that's a nice dog.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about baby Ralphie.
I know. I feel like there's gotta be another side though. When she gets out there tomorrow night, and we don't know for sure she's gonna be able to run. They've been kind of hedging things. They're gonna give it a try.
Where did that come from? I haven't heard any hedges.
I mean, it's basically that they haven't straight up said it. Let me pull up this part of the press release because they made it pretty clear in there. But basically, when she gets out there, I honestly think like, that's when the buffalo comes out a bit. You know, that's when she starts charging. She starts kicking, trying to pull away, that kind of stuff. So far, though, seems super sweet. Okay, let me pull up this quote. So this is from Taylor Stratton, who runs the Ralphie program. She said, let's see, all of Ralphie's training is completed with positive reinforcement, and ultimately the decision on whether or not she runs will always depend on her safety and that of her handlers. So there's things like she isn't going to be at Ralphie's corral tomorrow just because
they don't want to give her extra anxiety.
She's a 15-month-old buffalo, and again, no expert here. Seem pretty unpredictable.
How are you not an expert?
I know, it's such a waste. Like, right? I know, I tried to talk to Kaylee job. Webb on the soccer team, but we'll make that happen. I'm sure that she has some buffalo facts for us on the way at some
point. It has to mean a lot to her that Ralphie was raised by a beef cow.
I know, this Ralphie is incredible. Like, orphaned at birth, raised by a beef cow, comes from like from Nebraska, but a family owns that ranch that has like
five members.
The fact
that you use the term occupied territory on Twitter made me really happy.
I was really excited about that.
That was a really like
that was the reason it was a quote tweet, not a reply. Yes. Did I retweet something like
that? It was a quote tweet, yeah. Occupied territory, fantastic.
It's what it is. It's what it is. And there should be more.
It's like an embassy.
Exactly.
Your buff's embassy.
Yes, that's what we're officially calling that. You give us Ralphie, that you're an embassy.
Yes, you're a Colorado embassy of Nebraska.
Yeah. To get back to the plan for the show, though, we've also got, like I said, Evan Batty coming in. I ran him through a bunch of live mascots across college football, and he gave us some rankings, some fun stuff in there, and then we're gonna close things out by playing some over unders for this UNC game tomorrow.
Yes, Dre and I have been begging and pleading of Colorado legislation to allow player props on college games. For some reason, they find that to be like across the line. It's like, I don't understand why. So we have to come up with our own player props.
We do.
That's okay.
I want to be able to bet on Nate Landman in particular. And I know this is a bad time.
Nate Landman tackles? Are you kidding me?
What would that line even be set at? I know tomorrow's different because he might not even play the second half because of the way the game could go, and there's so many guys they want to get out there, but a normal game, is the line 12.5? 11.5?
Definitely at the lowest, 9.5.
At the lowest.
Yeah.
And he says he's playing the best football of his life right now.
Which is, incredible.
Let's jump into this draft, though. I have a feeling we'll be talking more about these linebackers in just a second.
Yes.
Again, what we're doing here, we're drafting bus position groups. Some ground rules. Here's the position groups. There's 10 picks, 10 groups. Quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line. On the defensive side, defensive line, outside linebacker, inside linebacker. So we're going with the 3-4, just to make that clear. And then cornerback safeties.
Can we just quickly go over, like, they're all of a sudden they're in a 4-3, and like, it doesn't really matter.
No.
When it all comes down to it, but like seeing someone like Carson Wells listed as defensive end just feels silly to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Chris Wilson made some good points during the during spring ball, saying like we want to be multiple, and the way that we're going to approach things is, you know, it's based on what the offense does, and the offense, every single offense in college football, they're going to run about 60-70% of their plays in a base formation, which means like 11 personnel, 12 personnel, mm-hmm. and we need to figure out what we do to stop that base formation. Everything else is situational. If you need to go lighter, you need to go far. And so it's going to be kind of week to week, and I don't know if they're going to be going 3-4 to 4-3 within games. I don't know what all that's going to look like, and honestly, I think they're mostly going to be a nickel anyway.
That's what I was going to say, is base defense mm-hmm. is a lost art in 2021 because mm-hmm. everyone, especially... I mean, everywhere. I was going to say, especially in the Pac-12, but it's not really. I mean, Alabama is running spread at this point. So, like, everyone is putting a bunch of receivers on the field at all times.
I know.
Which means you cannot have three linebackers out there at all times or exactly. else you're going to get cooked.
And that's what Chris Wilson was saying, is you play USC, they're running four receivers out there 60-70% of the time. The other 30%, who knows? Maybe it's third and short. Maybe it's whatever. It's situationally, you might need to go heavier. But that means your base look is going to be nickel or maybe even dime.
Right. Because
I think technically their dime defense is going to be the one where they have Robert Barnes on the field, and I still think he's one of their best defenders. But you look at the depth chart, so he's listed as a backup.
Like, there's a lot of panic over the depth chart.
I know.
Of course, we're partnering with All Buffs on the tailgate tomorrow. And like, I love All Buffs. Like,
me too. Yeah, I've been they're great.
Perusing All Buffs my whole adult life and beyond.
Yeah.
Even when I was a kid. But like, it brought me back because there was so much. There's like people panicking over the depth chart. I was like, right. I remember what this is like. And I'm sure it was the same on Twitter. Football. Everyone's boosting up Robert Barnes all offseason. Then all of a sudden, he's a backup. So
yeah.
I think that term multiple is really important to keep in mind. All of these guys are going to be playing mm-hmm. if they're good enough to play.
Exactly.
And they're going to be mixing up the defense a lot. Okay, let's jump in.
Let's jump into this draft. We've outlined the rules. I'll let you pick. It's going to be a snake draft. Do you want to go first or do you want to go second?
I want to go second.
That's a good pick. I think there's two groups that kind of stand above.
Really quick, we got a lot of people watching on Periscope. Flip over to YouTube. It's a higher quality product. Both of our tweets have the YouTube link in there.
Yep.
If that's where you found us. So go over to YouTube. Hit us with a thumbs up while you're there as well.
Yep.
It'll help us get boosted up, get more Buffs fans in here.
Exactly. Pick one. You know, this is... I hate this. I'm going running backs.
Damn.
I'm going running backs. And how could you not, right? Reigning offensive player of the year in Jarek Broussard. The bell cow from the year before that in Alex Fontenot. And then you've got Ashad Clayton, who I was talking on TDSP. It's going to be out tomorrow. Definitely look for that. But Ashad Clayton, there was like a newspaper in Louisiana that put together an all-decade team. And the running backs, I'm pretty sure, like Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Darius Geis, and Ashad Clayton.
Oh my god.
And when you have that backfield, that's got to be the first pick, right?
Didn't he like carry them to a state championship averaging 300 yards a game or something?
To the state championship, and he averaged, I think, like 3.5 touchdowns and like over 200 rushing yards a game in that run. And what happened, for those of you who weren't paying attention during that time, so he had offers from all the big dogs in the SEC. I think he wanted to go to LSU even, and he tore his ACL. And LSU pulled the offer, and Colorado kept the offer. And when LSU kind of swooped back in late in the process when all this was going on, Ashad said, no, I'm going to CU because they stuck with me.
And what's really cool about Ashad, I feel like he's slowly but surely winning over the fan base mm-hmm. because there was this – everyone was reading into his like cryptic tweets early on. There was this feeling, oh, he's going to leave because Mel Tucker's uh-huh. leaving. He was already kind of off to a bad start that they were going to give him Wizard White's number. A lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
And it was just, everyone was kind of like, oh, he's going to transfer. And the fact that he hasn't, like for me as a fan, it's like, that makes me feel good. You know, it's like, okay, he's actually sticking this out. He's sticking with this. He knows he's going to have to fight to earn playing time mm-hmm. and he's willing to do that. I think that maybe he was mischaracterized.
I think so.
As like a diva and this, that, and the other. And maybe, you know, all these kids who are stars in high school have a little bit in them, but I don't think he is the guy that a lot of people thought he was when he came to campus.
I totally agree. And he had an interview this spring where he really opened up about all that stuff and said like, it was really hard, especially transitioning from Louisiana to Colorado, which is a transition that in the past, if you like look at the recruits have come from Louisiana, hasn't gone great, and a lot of them have left. I can't remember names because I've
obviously Cordell Stewart. Stayed.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know he was even Louisiana, but yeah. So Ashad though was basically saying, you know, he grew up living with his grandma, living with his mom, and that was kind of a support system, and to leave them was really hard. He went back over Christmas break, and his grandma basically said, "Hey, you got 2, 3, 4 years, whatever here, and you got to make the most of it because you got to buck up, and this is a great opportunity." And he responded really well, and he does seem like he's grown a lot from where he was a year ago.
So I'm sad that you took that, because I thought I might be able to sneak it. But my question for you is, how do you see the percentage shaking out in terms of carries? Jarek Broussard was the guy last year, mm-hmm. and that worked out really, really well. Like, how, as a coaching staff, can you look at that and say, like, less carries for him?
It's really hard to do. But you also look at it and say, hey, he had 30 touches a game last year, and in a 6-game season, that's sustainable.
Right,
you can make
that
happen. But even that, he went from 185 pounds at the start of the season to 175.
Wow.
And that's not what you want. And I think you just look at that whole situation, say you can't give him 30 touches. If you can get down to 20, then maybe that works better. But instead of looking at like the total average at the end of the season, I think you kind of look game by game and say Northern Colorado, you give him some run. You want him to get his legs under him. But you give the bulk of the work to Ashad. Next week, you might need a little bit more from Jarek, and you might save his legs for that situation. That's where you might see 30 touches for him.
Man, you'd love to see Ashad get 14, 15, 16 carries in this game for over 100 yards and a couple touchdowns to really get him going. Because how many carries does he have in his career at this point?
8, 9. Yeah, so I think he had like 2 last year before like week 4, and then against Stanford. He had like his first carry was a 17-yard touchdown or 17 yards. 2 of the next 3 went for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that was it for that game. It's not a whole lot of work.
He's never had an opportunity to get into a rhythm. I'd love to see what that looks like when he does.
I totally agree. And Alex Fontenot, he needs to get his legs under him too.
He was so good. I mean, he's probably got the best vision. I don't know. You can say he's better vision than Bruce.
It's tough to talk.
But his vision was so good when he played.
I'm so excited for tomorrow.
He's like slippery. All right. I think just because of the sheer amount of talent that exists in this group, I got to go wide receivers with the second pick. I mean, top to bottom, all of these guys are like names that you've heard, names that you know, names that have tons of talent. Daniel Arias, Lavonte Chenault, Brendan Rice. I'm really high on Montana Lamonius Craig.
Yep.
Dimitri Stanley. Like, if you were ranking the 10 best players on the team, multiple of these guys are getting in there.
So that's got to be the pick for me. And I think that maybe there's a little bit of risk there just because they aren't super proven. You know, how much have you seen from Brendan Rice? How much have you seen from Lavonte Chenault? But that is, probably the highest upside group on the team, and the floor isn't that low. I think that's a good pick.
So my question for you here is, you said defensive line is a whole unit?
So defensive line, but not based on the 4-3 depth chart.
Okay.
We're going 3-4. We're going 3-4.
All right, fine.
You don't get Carson Wells and Josh Gunn.
I was
going to
say, I'm
going to
get Terrace Lane and Mustafa and Carson Wells.
That's right. Ooh, like half of Mustafa. I hadn't thought of that when I was going through my rankings. Mustafa changes that group a little bit.
Yeah. What's the latest on that? What do you believe is going to happen with Mustafa in terms of when he can play?
So I shout out all buffs. Here's what happened. About a week ago, I saw a tweet saying, like, is it real Mustafa's going to be back? And I was like, no, it's not. How could that possibly be? Did a little sleuthing on all buffs. It's like, there's some buzz. Nobody really has any firm things. Reached out to some people and heard that there's like a 50-50 chance that they're going to be able to bring him back. And there's going to be an unknown length of games for a suspension. And that's basically what Brian Howell reported yesterday when he said that Mustafa has gotten the waiver from the NCAA to return. And he said he won't be back in the first 4 games of the season. And when he comes in after that is kind of the question. But week 5 against Arizona State, I think that's a good game to be back for. And I'm holding out hope.
Wow. That came out of nowhere. It's funny because we took a lot of crap. We just reported what Carl Durrell told Matt McChesney, which was, I think he said Terrence Lang, Mustafa Johnson, Carson Wells, and Nate Landman will all be back next year. Of course, then Mustafa leaves. People are like, what the hell you guys said? And we're like, that's what Coach Terrell said. But now it's all true.
I know. And I look back to like 2 months ago, I went to the barber and it's the same barber who cuts Mustafa's hair. And he said like, yeah, I think Mustafa might be trying to come back to see you. I was like, no, he can't. He can't. And now in hindsight, I'm like, how did I not follow up
just,
on that?
Just a suspension.
I was just like, no, you can't do it. It's just a suspension because he never signed anywhere. And
which to me,
pay things back, all that.
If he pays everything back, why does he need to be suspended?
I have no idea.
I realize you have to set a precedent somewhere where you can't just have this happening all the time.
Yeah.
But it has that, like, I've never heard of this happening before.
There's the one story that everybody's kind of citing, including Brian Howe when he was doing this reporting, because he's really good at that. There was the punter from Arizona State. It happened a couple years ago. He wound up transferring to Oklahoma. But that's the one that everybody points to. I don't even know if there's another example.
It's really interesting.
It is. And really exciting.
Really exciting. Okay, let me make my pick here.
Okay.
I am going to go... I think I'm just going to make sure I have Nate Landman on my team.
That's the right pick, I think.
I'm taking inside linebackers. Mm-hmm. He is the heart and soul of the team. Also, you have like the intrigue of Robert Barnes there.
Yep.
You know, some other guys involved. So I got to have Nate. I just got to have Nate. Now I feel like, you know, I talked about the top 10 players on the team. I feel like I'm stacking them up.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. And there's just so much talent there. And I do think that Robert Barnes is kind of a guy you can trust. On top of that, you look at that depth chart and you don't love that Robert Barnes is listed as a backup. But to see Marvin Ham and Quinn Perry as starters at this point, it's got to mean something, right? It's got to be
that
something.
They like progressed. Is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Like, yeah. And see, I think there's some more upside there too with Jack Lamb coming. That's where I would have gone with this next pick. Instead, though, I'm taking the outside linebackers. Carson Wells, most underrated football player in the Pac-12. You've got Guy Thomas, Jamar Montgomery, Josh Gustav. It does look like Guy Thomas is going to be. You can't even call him the starter because they're probably not going to start in the 3-4, but he's going to be, when they go to that 3-4, that other guy across from him. With the upside of a couple of other guys, Jamar Montgomery, Josh Gustav, that's a very high floor group with Carson Wells. And out of those three, you could totally see one of them popping this season.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I hope Guy Thomas is dope because you should have to be dope to wear number one.
He's dope. So if plug for the DMVR Buffs podcast, for those who don't listen, I did like a 7-8 minute interview with him. It's on one of the episodes last week. Darian Hagan came up and pretended that he was Guy Thomas to start that interview out. it was a good time. So definitely go back and look at that.
Darian Hagan, man. He's
a fun guy.
He's just like around. He coaches a little bit. He gives everyone a little bit of shit. Yep.
I'm out there. I'm long number one. I'm causing chaos today, ruining quarterback's days. And she's like, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to go with. Why you got to do that to me, Kale? He never would have stopped me.
That's right. I wouldn't have. I was asleep at the wheel, and now I'm unprepared. Give me the tight ends.
Nice.
Give me the tight ends. I want Brady Russell on my side. Brady, to me, there's four tight ends in the Pac-12 that kind of separate themselves from the rest, and he's one of them. Where he fits into those four at the end of the season, I couldn't tell you because we didn't get to see enough of him last year. But what we did see was really exciting. The way the offense has changed and how they've started using the tight end, I think, is really exciting for Brady Russell in particular, the screens, all that kind of stuff. It's a big year for him, and they added so many. There's like 10 guys on the roster at that position right now, and so many of them are exciting. Caleb Fourier made the depth chart,
yep.
Which is a name that I think stands out to Buffs fans.
Of course.
You've got Alec Pell, who looked great in that scrimmage, and we've heard good things about him. Got some reps after switching from linebacker last year.
I kept seeing his name pop up whenever, another touchdown to Alec Pell from Brennan Lewis.
Exactly, and he's like diving over guys and doing that kind of stuff. Matt Lynch, who we haven't even talked about.
Yep.
He's the steady hand, and he's the number three now behind Alec Pell on this depth chart.
QB4.
And probably, and maybe QB3. we'll see. But I think this tight end group, high upside, high floor with Brady Russell, assuming the health. Well, knock on wood, but I can't reach any wood. I feel good about that pick.
All right, cool. I'm going defensive line.
Yeah.
I got to get Terrence Lang on my team here, Jalen Sammy. There's, again, talent in this group, and I feel like there's – I like this, that there's been six picks, three offensive groups, three defensive groups.
Yeah.
I think the defense is the strength of this team, so I'm happy to have, I guess, multiple – two of my first three picks be on the defensive side. I look at this group and I just say, okay, like that's a good group. You've got some question marks, some guys that you need to step up a little bit, like Rodman and whatnot.
Yep.
But the top level talent is really there, and Terrence Lang is a freak. I mean,
it's kind of go time for him.
But he's a freak.
He is
6'7", 285, like uber athletic. He's got a lot to prove this year. From a NFL standpoint,
yep.
But he has everything you need to be a dominant player in college.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about what like the 3-4 means for Carson Wells versus the 4-3 and don't love it. On the other side of that, Terrence Lang getting to play that kind of big edge spot with that defensive end in the 4-3, I think that fits his strengths maybe a little bit more. And I'm really excited to watch him. He's a freak. And you get Mustafa at some point this season, too, probably.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We just talked about
it. Just Mustafa.
Yeah, just Mustafa. Yeah, he's a – it's so weird. I just – the whole situation is so weird, but
– I know.
All of a sudden, mid-season, you're just going to get an NFL-caliber defensive lineman.
It's incredible. Or I guess
almost NFL-caliber.
And the NFL didn't think so, but they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, he's short. That's all it is.
Should not matter
he's short.
At that position.
No, it shouldn't. He's short, though.
Leverage.
Luckily, you got Terrence to balance him out.
Yes.
You got the back-to-back here, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Snake drafts. Kale's the expert on snake drafts here. okay. I'm going to go corners.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. Obviously, Mekhi Blackmon, Christian Gonzalez, and then some question marks behind them, but again, when you talk about top level talent on the team, I think those two guys are fitting in there.
And the lack of depth, and I don't even, it's a weird situation. You've got Nigel Bethel there, who's exciting. You know, you've got Chris Miller, who doesn't even show up on the depth chart, but that's just because he plays the nickel, and there's no nickel. You can, on that depth chart, there's like the little N that signifies like the nickel guy, and there's just no N anywhere because the end guy
they
isn't
just didn't put him on the depth chart at all
because they're what he's none of those positions.
So at least
he's the nickel.
So create another thing that's like over here by like kickoff returner.
I know
that's just say like nickels.
Fair. But I mean in this defense, like it's kind of a hybrid safety corner, but he kind of factors in there too.
Yeah.
If there was more depth though, this position group would be way up higher with Christian Gonzalez and Mekhi Blackmon.
So you obviously we have Carson Wells as the most underrated player on the team. Would you
in
put
Mekhi conference.
Blackmon second?
He is. I think he is. I mean, and the reason he isn't first is because he was preseason second team All Pac 12. Carson was honorable mention. No, he wasn't even. No, he was honorable mention. That's right. That's right.
It doesn't matter. There's nothing honorable about that.
I know. I talked to him about it a couple of weeks ago, and he just stressed. I was like, what do you think of that? And he said, disrespectful.
It is disrespectful.
And I was like, anything else? Like, you want to say disrespectful?
Like, honorable mention preseason All-American would be acceptable.
But he doesn't play in L.A. He doesn't play for Oregon. So when you got to knock somebody out, who do you knock out?
It's a joke.
Wow, we're getting down to it now. I'm going with the offensive line.
Nice.
This is a group that could have gone much earlier, but I mean, people just don't get as excited as they probably should about offensive linemen. You know, there are some questions, especially early in the season. Casey Roddick had the sickness that's kept him out from like the beginning of spring ball all the way through the summer. He was cleared the day before camp, and he's still working his way back, so he's listed as a backup. You've got Frank Phillip, who I think is going to take over the starting job at some point, but he won't be back until week three, week four of the season, Carl said. And there's a couple other guys who've been banged up, and they're kind of piecing this together. So it could be kind of a slow start. The good news is there's seven guys that I'd be excited to see on the field. The problem is right now there's about five plus Casey Roddick, who's at half strength.
Fair. Do you get back to back here?
I do get back to back.
Damn it.
So do I take safeties or quarterbacks? Ah. Give me the safeties.
Yes.
Give me the safeties.
Yes.
Mark Perry has so much upside.
He does.
He's talked about it. Like, there was some confidence stuff last year, some mistakes he made. I think he's ready to turn a corner. And on top of that, you've got Isaiah Lewis, who played really well last year, but was, you know, not a big name recruit. Wasn't like making a couple of splash plays early in his career to get his name out there. And I think you half count Chris Miller in this group as well. And I think that because of those things, there's enough to like and get excited about. And the quarterback position just scares me.
Okay, so I ended up getting like my favorite player on the team, though.
Yeah,
Brendan Lewis.
Fair. That's a good one.
I love Brendan Lewis. You know, the one thing that concerned me in that Texas game when we finally got to see him play a little bit was his arm strength.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely, he wasn't throwing rockets by any means. But, you know, he was 18 years old. He's only growing. He's only getting bigger. His legs are tree trunks. I think that his potential is so high. I actually really like the silver lining of the injury to, I'm blanking,
JT Trout.
Is that it got to be his team for a few weeks.
Yep.
He doesn't have to feel like someone's looking over his shoulder. He's really not looking over his shoulder.
He is not.
And he gets to just like be himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to think like, oh God, if I go have a bad game tomorrow, they might be thinking about playing JT against A&M. Like,
yep.
None of that. He really gets to go play freely, and I'm super, super, super excited for him. And I think he allows this team to do some stuff that they haven't been able to do in the last couple of years, or at least at a higher level.
I agree.
Like, they need to, you know, go back into the Sefo Lufau playbook, bring back the quarterback counter in short yardage. I swear Sefo must have been like 20 out of 22 on that on the season of converting third and fourth and short. Actually, I can't even remember him getting stopped once. I'm just assuming it must have
like
happened
Biscuit
at some
with
point.
The Wildcat.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, he's a. What's his squat at?
It's the record.
Yeah.
I don't know the number just because I've never done like a measured squat before. So
I
mean,
it's over 500 pounds.
Yeah, like it could be like 700 or it could be 200, and I don't know what's impressive
for a
squat.
Impressive
it is.
To you.
All I know is to be impressed by the number that it is.
So I think that if we put this out to a poll, I'm gonna smoke you.
I think so too. I
like
think
if so you look too. At the players I got.
Oh yeah, I'm curious.
Obviously,
it's a good group.
Jarek has got to be a lot of people's favorite player, but like,
mm-hmm.
Brendan Rice is like probably the leader in hype.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why like Brendan Lewis maybe doesn't throw the ball downfield much. We've seen what happens when you throw a short pass to Brendan Rice.
Oh yeah.
He's got playmakers to do that for him.
Yep. I think most people's favorite player is Nate Landman.
It should be.
Mustafa and Terrace Lang have a big following. Cornerback, and then I got like everyone's excited for Brendan Lewis until they're not.
This poll is gonna be the good one.
I think I'm gonna kill you.
We'll see. I'm now that I do look at the positions, not a lot of sexiness in there.
Right,
outside
right.
Linebackers, tight ends, offensive line. Okay, we'll see how it goes. Also, now that I think of it, like, yeah, if like Brendan does retweet this, which I think is more likely than Kari Cooch retweeting this. Like, yeah.
I mean, I
may
really
have handled some things
if
poorly.
If I need to, I can tag them, you know. And yeah, hey, I got could. Brendan Rice. And
wow, and you would win.
It is crazy, though. Like, that running backs group is, like, top to bottom stacked.
It is crazy. And you know what else is crazy? The tailgate that we are going to have tomorrow before the game.
That is actually legitimately going to be crazy.
I still haven't bought the wagon. I've been asked that again recently.
Ooh, you said that correctly.
I no, because you guys were all making jokes instead of telling me how to say it the right way last time.
I like it better when
I
you
had
say
Drace,
wagon.
These AG words, like I know bag is not bag, it's
yes.
bag.
Flag.
Flag is flag. I've learned that bagel is bagel, not bagel.
Uh-huh.
Wagon, not wagon.
Yes.
So many of these that
You're doing great.
They're just one by one that I don't understand. But yeah.
We like it better when we see your Montana.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Right there. I've still got to go buy that wagon because that's the only way I'm going to get these 14 cases of beer to our tailgate with All Buffs tomorrow. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be grilling. And all that beer comes from Breckenridge Brewery. Mm. They do so many awesome things for us, like give us beer for that tailgate, give us beer for the soccer tailgate last week, to paying to sponsor this podcast so that this show is possible. They've been one of our longest tenured partners. We really appreciate them. They do all sorts of great things.
You like, want a Breck brew, like right now?
I'm down.
Cool. I'll go get us.
Okay,
one.
You handle that.
Wait, we have
selfies.
I know.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. So they're up here. Okay, I'll keep going. You. But yeah, 1% of their profits this summer are going to the National Parks Conservation Association. What more could you ask for? We love them. If you want to check out their stuff, come down to the DMVR bar. Go to like any grocery store, any liquor store, any of that kind of stuff. If you want to make sure that they have what you want to try, make sure you use the beer locator on the breckbrew.com website. It'll tell you exactly where to pick up the strawberry sky, the seltzers, whatever it is that you want to try. Oh, I haven't tried the summer pills. Also, want to give a shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. They've got so many awesome things going on right now. I know that they have another Hammer the Over promotion going on. Or maybe that's the Ohio State game that's already started. No.
Clemson, Georgia,
Hammer the Over. And last I saw last night, it was down to 14.5, which means if you bet on it and there's more than 15 points scored, more than 14 points scored, I guess, then you get to all the money. And for every 2,500 people who bets the over, it goes down another half point. They've got some other promotions going on next weekend as well. They've got one of those with the Buccaneers. Basically, there's like $75 to $100 in free money for new users, for users who've been around for a while. So definitely get on there and check all that stuff out. And right now, if you bet $1 on any NFL game and you're a new user, you get $200 in free bets instantly. You can't top that deal. It's obviously just free money, and you don't want to pass that up. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DMVR and receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code DMVR to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Real quick on the Breck Brews. Cheers.
Yeah, I gotta try this.
You gotta open it first. That's bad luck.
Do you see how I'm reaching? I'm gonna spill. Oh, I should have opened it next to the mic.
There you go. I'm cheers. Strong. So, we have so much Breck Brew for the tailgate tomorrow, and we were told, quote, there will be leftovers. And I took that as a deep, deep challenge. So, come to the tailgate, help us put down what is somewhere north of 150 beers?
Yep.
14 cases of Breck.
Yeah, I just don't know how big each case is.
I have no idea. I have
no
idea.
12 is a case when I was a kid, quote unquote, was 30. I know these aren't coming in 30 packs.
No,
but I know Breck does 15 packs. Are they all 15 packs? Well, that's why I'm saying north of 150. We can be sure that it's north of 150. We need your help.
Yep.
Let's crush some.
Evan Batty helped us last weekend. He handled a couple for us.
He did.
We there were some
legally.
Other, the problem right now is that the rest of the basketball team is underage, and so everybody's just kind of like hanging out with their water bottles. And
there used to be this, I think his name is Evan Harrington. He was a fullback for the Buffs, and everyone called him Uncle Evan because he was like old by the end of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's perfect for Evan Batty.
Yeah, I think that is perfect. Speaking of Evan Batty,
bar's pretty rowdy right now.
Bar is rowdy. Speaking of Evan Batty, though, I had a chance to talk with him this morning about Baby Ralphie, about the rest of the live mascots, including one that's from just a little bit north of here, and he has some notes on that one. So, Kale, want to show the good people what Evan Batty had to say?
I'm gonna provide like a list or something of live mascots or what can I grow.
All right, I'm here with Evan Batty of the Buffs basketball team, and we want to talk about Ralphie a little bit. First of all, like, Evan, what was your first impression when you saw some of this stuff that was coming out about Ralphie yesterday?
My first impression was kind of how little the buffalo is. Obviously, she's a baby, so she's going to grow with time. But it's cute. It's really cute. It's like a cute little buffalo.
Have you had a chance to meet her yet?
No, I haven't got a chance to meet her at all yet.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw she was out at a football practice, and the football team got to see her. I feel like they've got to get you in there soon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good-looking little buffalo. I feel like we should actually see if we can get her to run while she is so little at the basketball game. I feel like that little buffalo is – you might be able to get her outside the perimeter of the court.
She might destroy the court, though, with her hooves. I don't even know what the process for that is.
Yeah. You could put some, socks on her or something.
Yeah, you definitely can put, some little booties on her for sure.
Plus, I don't know, if they're going to be letting Jabari on that court after what he did to that backboard in Costa Rica.
Facts.
I mean, Ralphie has done nothing wrong.
Yeah, exactly. She might be better off than Jabari.
All right. So we're going to play a game real quick. I pulled up a bunch of pictures of a bunch of different mascots, live mascots from around the country. And I want to know your thoughts. We're going to be ranking these guys 1 to 10. And we're going to actually start with the University of Texas and Bevo. Here you go. You can get a little peek at him right there. Well, what do you think this Texas, how does it compare to Ralphie?
I know it doesn't beat Ralphie, but I'd say he's not far behind. So I'd say probably 3 or 4.
3 or 4? 3 or 4. Yeah. Ralphie's a 10, by the way, right?
Well, Ralphie's number 1 on the list. Well, okay. 1 being the best and 10 being the best.
Okay. Next up, we got Smokey, the dog from Tennessee.
Yeah, that's just a usual dog. I can find that anywhere. So
exactly. They put a vest on a dog and pretended it's special.
Right. Probably in the later stages of the 1 through 10, probably 9 or 10.
Okay. Next up, we've got another dog. At least this is a bulldog. You know, I feel like this is a little bit cooler.
Yeah, I like the bulldog from Georgia. I feel like that's probably right behind Evo, the cow. Probably right behind Evo.
All right, we got Mike the Tiger up next from LSU.
I think that's been number 2 because I just, it's a tiger. So
yeah, they're cool.
Right behind Ralphie for
but
me,
it doesn't go out on the football field. You know, it just kind of hangs out outside.
Oh, well, it's probably 6 or 7 then if it doesn't go on the football field.
What a waste. A mascot needs to be at the football game.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Okay, we got Renegade, the horse here from Florida State.
What is that? Florida State?
Florida State.
What's the mascot? The horse or the Seminole?
I think it's a team thing. We're grading the horse though. We're grading the horse. Renegade.
I mean, there's a number of schools that have horses as their mascot. I mean, not as their main mascot, but USC kind of has the same thing with Traveler and the Trojan that they ride. So it's kind of been there, done that. So I'd probably make it in the later parts of the rankings as well.
Okay. War Eagle here.
That's number 2 for me.
Yeah, flies around the stadium. That's dope. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's number 2. Yeah, I was waiting on that actually. So
okay. We've got Sir Big Spur here, South Carolina.
I assume that's a Gamecock. I don't know what Gamecocks are. some type of rooster or chicken type looking thing. It's middle of the pack, 5, 6, 7, probably around there.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just like a chicken.
It's just a chicken.
I could bring a chicken to a football game.
I can easily bring a chicken to a football game.
and then finally, up from Fort Collins, Cam the Ram.
That's a 10. That's, you know, ranked 10, the last one on the list. I mean, this shouldn't even be on this list because, I don't know, CSU. But, I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's a Ram. You know, you don't see Rams every day. So, I mean, it's cool. But I just don't like it.
Bottom of the list. Bottom of the list. And just one more thing on Cam the Ram there. We've got a great tweet out from the Buffs account just a couple minutes ago. Just comparing the size of baby Ralphie, even compared to Cam the Ram, like twice the size.
Yep, that's how we do it. You know, we just double them up, you know.
Yep. Got a nice little piece of corn down there in the corner too.
Yeah.
Love that. All right, thanks for jumping on, Evan. Good to see you. And looks like you're in the gym. Working
out?
I'm
in the gym right now. Yeah. I just paused my little workout to do this. So it's all good.
All right. Hope it all goes well, and we'll see you at the stadium on Friday.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Great stuff.
It's our guy, Evan Batty. Any beef with his rankings?
No, I didn't see any cows.
No?
Oh, actually, Bevo. That would be my Bevo. Beef.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Obviously, I thought he went a little soft on Cam the Ram. Cam the Ram, like, just stick with the fluffy fake mascot.
So little did I know that tweet that I showed kind of at the end there, turns out, like, Ram fans and actual, like, Rams football players were, like, quote tweeting that saying, let's compare their testicles. I think that was, like, a literal quote from the long snapper.
Oh, yes. I saw that. One is a woman.
What is happening? Yeah, like
a female, I should say.
Yeah, welcome back to like the 1970s where people say like, "Well, these stars is a man."
Yeah,
like,
literally.
I know.
And like, it's like fans were like supporting that.
I know, right? And I'm not ashamed of this. I googled bison testicles. Actually, I googled bison balls. Turns out like they look delicious.
Yeah, but,
just like balls.
Have you had them?
Not the testicle. No. But they're like, oh, it's buffalo balls that they make into like buffalo chicken balls. But no, I've never had Rocky Mountain oysters either.
Very good. You can get them at the Dark Horse.
I won't.
You should do it.
No.
I think next time we go there, I'm going to order some. You can have a bite.
I legitimately just spent this afternoon scrolling through pictures of
oh, now you're like buffalo, emotionally attached
buffalo testicles because I had to know, like, are they bigger, like, are the Ram fans the Ram fans are not making a point, but now I'm no interest in eating those.
I really couldn't believe that. I was like, they realize like this makes them look really dumb, right? But they don't, because they are dumb.
They are. I
have to say, your idea of putting socks on baby Ralphie and letting her run it at the event center, 10 out of 10.
I agree.
10 out of 10 idea.
We need to make this happen. It's an opportunity that will not last long.
No.
Buffaloes grow quickly. She's going to be 1,300 pounds in like 3 years.
I've had this other idea, though.
Okay.
That protects the court, as I know Evan was very concerned about that.
Yep.
Run her through the concourse. And you could lay down like like a gold carpet that goes around the whole thing, so she keeps her grip, and let her run the concourse.
I love it. And maybe that's like our happy middle ground.
Right.
Running on the court, I understand it's why.
It would also be a really tight turn.
It would be.
For a buffalo. They don't have a great turn radius.
It's a very small buffalo at this point.
I know, but turn radius, not their strength.
Okay. Fair. They're very much a straight ahead sort of animal. We've got to get to our over-unders. We're going to do that in just a second. But speaking of testicles, because we've been doing a lot of speaking about those, our good friends at Manscaped have put together some awesome offers for us. It's fantasy football season. It's time to put the PP back in PPR league with the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped. For those of you who haven't heard, Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming, and they've just launched the new Performance Package 4.0. Don't neglect your balls like the Packers front office has been neglecting Aaron Rodgers. It's just not right, because look at what happens.
Yes.
And nobody's happy.
Once you're proud of your balls, you can, you know, try and compare them to the size of Ralphie's.
Yeah, and I bet Ram fans spend a lot of time comparing them to the size of cans. We should ask Justin if he thinks about that. Like, how often do the... I don't know. They were so ready to talk about it. It was everywhere.
They're really proud of their mascots.
I had no appendage. Idea. I had no idea. I'm lost. The point is, if you want to take care of your family jewels, Manscaped makes it easy. They've got all sorts of great products, from the Lawnmower 4.0, which is their body hair trimmer. It's the best on the market. 7,000 RPM, but comes with a skin-safe technology, an advanced skin-safe technology. The Performance Package 4.0 comes with a bunch of other products too. Get some boxers, get a t-shirt, a travel bag. The Weed Whacker. Nose and ear hair trimmer, which I actually haven't gotten yet.
Oh, you're probably too young to need that yet.
I was. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of other stuff too. That the crop preserver ball deodorant we talk about a lot. It's a must in the summer. The Texas A&M game next week, middle of the afternoon, sitting out in the sun, drinking beers for hours before that game. That's a day where you got to be taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. So definitely go to manscaped.com, figure out what you need. They've got a bunch of great options. Use the promo code DNVR and get 20% off and free shipping. It's promo code DNVR for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Do it. We love them.
So we've got an update here. It's delayed right now, but in the first quarter, Utah losing to Weber State. 7-3.
Interesting. Let's go Big Sky. Yeah. Also, let's go Pac-12. Eh. That's a tough one for me.
My first reaction is F them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. It's the official position of this podcast.
I'll back the pack in the NCAA tournament, and that's about it.
I'm an Oregon State fan.
Because of Sam Noyer?
Because of Wayne Tinkle and then the run they went on, and then Sam Noyer.
Yeah, I mean... Oregon State brings up kind of like shady memories for Buffs fans.
I have to remember those things.
But I do like Wayne Tinkle. I've met him personally. He's a cool dude.
He is a cool dude. And he's going to Montana Grizzly Hall of Fame this summer.
Do like Sam Noyer.
Yep.
Corvallis? Can't say I like that.
Never been.
But
I believe you.
But yeah, I mean, as far as Pac-12 teams go, they're on the low side of hateability.
Yep. Let's jump in. We want to talk about tomorrow's game. As we've said over and over again, Northern Colorado tomorrow to open the season at Folsom Field. We're playing a game of over-under. I came up with a bunch of different lines that I set, hopefully accurately, otherwise Ryan's going to make fun of me. And
definitely true.
Let's, we got about 10 of them, so we'll move pretty quick.
Okay.
What's our first one here, Kale?
Ooh, lower third style.
And I like it.
Over-under 6.5 yards per carry for the Buffs. All right, I got to think about how many carries there's going to be. So I'm going to take the under here, but the reason I'm doing that is because I think late in the game you're going to get a lot of like backup linemen, backup running backs, backup quarterbacks even maybe. Yep.
And sacks factor in college.
And I just think that that's going to hurt this. Like, I think they might be averaging like 7.5 going into the fourth quarter and then average like 1 in the fourth quarter.
That's fair. I think I'm on the same page, except I think they keep it up in the fourth quarter, and I'm taking the over.
Have you ever noticed that Minnesota's quarterback looks just like their coach?
No.
They're both like bald-headed guys with beards.
A lot of time learning about those two in a couple weeks.
That's true. Yep. We're getting a little scouting report here on Minnesota. They
just be bigger and stronger and faster at every position, I have a feeling, is going to be what we take away from Ohio State.
Yes. Well, Ohio State letting them drive a little here early. So
yeah.
Not a good news. Not good news.
All right, what's up next, Kale? Oh, over under 24.5 yards for Jarek's longest run.
Come on. Now I got to make fun of you because this is a terrible line. Over. Put it at 50.5, and I probably still take the over.
I agree. It's the over. It's the over. We saw what he did to CU's defense in the
scrimmage.
That's
what I was going to say. He had 2 carries for 100 and something yards.
And those were the guy. I mean, some of the starters for North Carolina are going to be guys who transferred from that. UNC. But it's... They've got guys who could not make it there without – that was a harsh way to put it, honestly. But, yeah, it's the over. He's going to break at least one that's 25.
If you gave me over under 24.5 on any of his first 5, I would still take the over.
What about if I said 2 runs? Oh, no. How about over under 2.5 runs, 25 yards or longer?
Over. 2.5?
Yeah.
Over.
325 plus yard runs from Jarek.
Yes.
You like to hear it.
Yes.
That's a tough line. I'm hyped. I'll take it too. I just worry that they take him out too soon.
That's what I was thinking about too. But then I was like, he only needs three drives for this, in my opinion.
He only needs three runs.
Yeah.
He just needs to make sure they don't start like 60 yards from the end zone on that first drive.
6.5 Buffs touchdowns. So 49 would be the baseline for a cover on this. The line is 37?
38. And that was a couple hours ago. It might be 39 now.
So here's my biggest concern.
Yep.
Carl Durrell coached Ed McCaffrey. There's definitely a relationship there of some sort.
Yep.
This is his friend or acquaintance who's coaching in their first ever game. I don't know if he's going to want to like run it up on him. And you don't even necessarily have to want to run it up on him to potentially do so. But I don't know if I see the Buffs scoring more than 50 points. So I'm thinking this game's closer to like 44-7.
Okay.
44-3. That'll come down to whether they cover or not, if they give up a touchdown or a field goal. But yeah, I'm going to take the under here.
I think running the ball is just going to be so easy that they should be able to score touchdowns instead of field goals. I'm taking the over. I said this on the podcast. I've got it 52-6. 7 touchdowns and a field goal.
Okay. There you go.
We'll see who's right next week. Over under 99.5 yards for CU's leading receiver.
I got to go under here. I only have Brendan Lewis in my head, and maybe we'll get to this in a second.
Okay.
Around like 180 passing yards.
Okay.
So I don't think someone's going to have, you know, over 50% of that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that it should be under. Again, potential for somebody to break a big one, but I've got the under. Next up, over under half a Brendan Lewis snap in the second half. Do we see Brendan Lewis in the second half?
Absolutely. Okay. You gotta, you know, he hasn't played in a college game before, so you at least have to get him used to, okay, you go into the half, you have your talk, you do your adjustments, you go out, you warm up, and then you go and you execute those adjustments. That's a really important thing. So at the very least, one. But it's not like, I mean, you obviously do have to get these backups a couple reps.
You do. And it doesn't hurt to get Brendan out of harm's way early.
Yeah, I mean, there's an old, Tony Dungy said he went to Peyton Manning. I might be butchering this story, but
perfect.
This is the way I remember the story in my head.
I love this.
Tony Dungy went to Peyton Manning in the preseason, or in training camp, and said like, hey, dude, we need to get the backup some reps with the ones just in case you ever go down. And Peyton said like, if I ever go down, we're effed anyway.
that's
kind of where things are with Brendan Lewis.
That's fair.
You don't like, yeah, would you like to get those guys some reps? Yes.
For sure.
Much more important is developing Brendan Lewis. So if you leave him in for three quarters, which I think is probably the minimum, then yeah, this covers.
I've got a little bit less. I think that I'm taking the over. I think he gets one or two drives in the second half. I don't think it's much more than that. I like the thought process, though. Last one.
I'm definitely taking the over.
Maybe
here.
Not. Oh, okay. Four more.
I think Ralphie runs.
I think Ralphie runs too.
They're also like promoting it as such, so they're gonna at least try. Obviously, they do have to. I mean, this is true of any time Ralphie ever runs. If she's acting weird, they don't run her.
Yep.
So they're not gonna put her in a bad position. But yeah, I've got Ralphie running.
I do too.
65.5% completion percentage for Brendan Lewis, over.
I've got the over too.
I've got him like, I think I said, I've got him 14 of 16, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Can we get the next one, Kale?
Sorry. Under, 0. I got 0.
This is for the podcast, 1.5 Brendan Lewis turnover.
Sorry,
that's
sorry,
I move
forgot
quickly.
About that.
Oh, it's all good.
Under that,
0.
I would go under 0.5 too.
Oh, wow. It was tough deciding between 0.5 and 1.5. I think it's 50-50 he has a turnover.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll be disappointed if he does.
Over under 3.5 combined tackles for loss from Nate Landman and Carson Wells.
Your best line yet. Oh, gosh. I'll go over.
I got the over.
Yep.
Two each.
I'm going to say 2 sacks and a TFL for Carson. And then I'm not sure about Nate. I don't know how much Nate's going to play.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense for Carson.
Yeah.
He gets disrespected. Go pad your stats here.
Yes, absolutely.
Do your thing.
Oh, man.
149.5 total North Carolina yards.
Northern Colorado.
Every time.
I have... Oh, sorry. I was watching the game. I have to go over here. That is so low. It's so low. I hope it goes under, but I'm thinking the same thing. Like, fourth quarter, Buffs have a bunch of backups in. They're still trying to get reps for their starters, and they go lead like a 70-yard field goal drive.
I've got the under. I went through some of the numbers last year. San Diego State put up 155. I think it's under. I think that defense can do that.
San Diego State only put up 155 yards.
More than half of that their plays went for zero or negative.
Such a joke.
He was.
That was bad.
And now we get to see Dylan McCaffrey.
What fun, weirdly enough, my lasting memory from that game is Sam Noyer throwing a pick six. Like, really bad throw to the outside hash.
There were a couple of those.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
Ooh, okay.
That's all we have planned for this show. Any final thoughts, Ryan?
Man, again, I just cannot wait, dude. Like, tomorrow we wake up, we do the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Like, 12 hours from now, we'll be waking up, getting ready for the golf tournament. Go straight from there up to Boulder for our first tailgate with all Buffs, which I think is going to be awesome. Catch us on the north side of Farron Field. I'll probably cry when we step foot in Folsom.
I'll cry when I see Ralphie.
Yeah.
I'll cry when I see Ralphie.
Yeah, there's going to be some tears tomorrow. Yep. And that's the beauty of college football.
Yeah, I've got a long day. We've got that golf tournament at 8. I'm also going to be on altitude 92.5 at 8 with Vic and Moj. I'll be at the site of the second Oddcast Cup, in which Moj made a 25-foot putt to beat us on number 18. That's going to be fun if you guys want to tune in and listen. That's the best radio show in Denver. And from there to the tailgate to the game. And then around like 12:30, we have a new show. It's called DNVR Buffs After Dark. It's going to be our post-game show. I've got a lot of things I have to do after the game, like interviews, like driving all the way back to Denver. But me and our guy Dev, who's also going to be down there covering the game, we're going to be going live at like 12:30 tomorrow night. I know maybe you guys are asleep. Obviously, YouTube is a thing, but...
I don't know how people sleep after sporting events.
I
have to unwind for like 3 hours after I get home.
That's why I have this job.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be up anyway. Why not be up for 6 hours writing and doing
things? I'm looking forward to that, though. DNVR Buffs After Dark.
It's going to be a fun one.
All right.
It's going to be a fun one. That's all we've got for you guys today, and we'll be doing this a lot. Make sure you give a 5-star rating to the podcast. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. All that good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys soon.